All right, welcome into Schizophrenic Music. This is Craig. Tonight we got a portion of the Moonlight Mile Music Club with us. We have Kevin, Tom, Juan, and Mark. And speaking of Mark, Mark had a topic for us, so I'm going to pass the mic to him.
So I work with a lot of young people, and I've noticed some things that are kind of different about young people now versus the way I was when I was in my early 20s. And it seems like every single young person is really into the TV show Friends. And it's not like they're looking at that as a vintage retro show. They're talking about it like it's a current show, you know? And I'm like, well, what is this? So I saw a quote the other day that kind of like rocked my world and made me really think. I don't know who this is. It's some guy that posted a quote, and he says, "Years ago, I interviewed Brian Eno, and he was amazing. But one thing he said about streaming music has always stayed with me, that his daughters listen to stuff from all sorts of eras without any idea of genre or timeline or context, because it was all equally available to them. As he put it, everything was present." And I think that's the big difference in the last decade or so of pop culture. We now accumulate stuff rather than replace it. Instead of The Office being a sitcom people remember from a decade ago, it's a show they're watching now. There's new pop culture, but it has to elbow for room amongst humanity's vast back catalog.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. So what he's saying is everything is present. People don't respond to context or timeline or even genre. It's just everything is present. Everything is available. So I got to give you guys an example of this that I personally experienced a couple weeks ago and about fell off my chair. Talking in a session to a young man who I have known for some time. He's 18 years old. He's just about to finish his first year of college. He's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He also happens to be a neighbor of mine. He loves music, and we usually check in. He wants to tell me what he's been listening to. So I'm like, what have you been listening to? Get this. He says this with like, there was no setup or anything that suggested this was weird. He just lists these artists very matter-of-factly. This is what I'm listening to. J. Cole, Fleetwood Mac, Tyler, the Creator, Marvin Gaye, Sly and the Family Stone, Kanye West, Chicago, Elvin Bishop, and Sweet.
Sweet.
Oh,
Wow.
And it was not presented like, oh, I'm really getting into some obscure 70s glam, or I'm digging deep into, you know, old 60s soul or obscure this or that. It was just presented like, it's absolutely normal to listen to Tyler, the Creator, alongside Elvin Bishop.
And Sweet.
Absolutely normal to listen to, you know, Kendrick right alongside of Sweet. I mean, it's just, you know, like I said, like everything is present. So clearly someone like Lana Del Rey, they have tons more marketing money and PR machinery behind them in 2021 than someone like Moby Grape. But the fact is, Moby Grape is just as accessible to someone today as Lana Del Rey or Fiona Apple. You can go on Spotify, you can pull up Moby Grape or Patti Page or Jefferson Airplane or anyone just as easy as you can pull up Tyler, the Creator. Mm-hmm. Everything is present. Everything is equally available. We don't replace, we just accumulate. Mm-hmm. So right. the question is, how does this change things? How does this change things? To me, this is fascinating. Yeah. How does this change things?
I think it changes because now the denominator just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's any one person's is such a smaller, or any one artist is such a smaller percentage of the whole. You know, it's tougher to find people or to find new, and I don't know. There's so much. It can be overwhelming.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, Mark. Did he indicate that he listened to albums or that he was just listening to those bands? Like, well, they were a part of a mix. Do you know?
Well, a couple times ago, he mentioned Grand Funk. And in that case, he was listening to one song.
Okay.
That somehow someone turned him on to one song. But in a lot of these cases, he said he was listening to whole albums.
Okay.
You know, whole albums by Marvin Gaye. I don't know about Sweet. Sweet to me is the really outlier, the shock in this.
I don't know them. Oh.
Early 70s, glam rocks, Fox on the Run.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Am I thinking of the right band with Ballroom Blitz?
Mm-hmm. Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah,
Ballroom Blitz. Fox on the Run, Ballroom Blitz.
That was their biggest hit, yeah.
Love is like oxygen. Oh, I know that one too. Okay.
But I don't know. It's like I think we have this idea.
Right.
That young people are only into Tyler, the Creator and Kanye West, right? Mm-hmm. And then the young people I talk to and they say, yeah, I'm listening to Elvin Bishop. Like, are you kidding me? That just completely blows me away. And
I feel,
again, no irony. There's no setup. It isn't presented like it's unusual at all.
Yeah. Or it's something, you know, novel. Yeah.
It's just it is.
I think like,
everything is present. Like, that's so cool in a way.
I love that.
Right.
But I don't think that this, I don't want to be negative. I don't think this dude, I don't think he's the norm.
I don't either.
Like Juan is not the
norm. Juan is like that, but Juan is not like.
Juan is not the normal 21-year-old music listening taste.
No.
Wait, I'm not.
Juan's digging much deeper than your average 21-year-old. It's just like, oh, I listen to what, you know, they're not, you know,
right.
To like, for this dude to listen to Marvin Gaye and Sweet and Tyler, the Creator. I mean,
and
that's
Elvin
like
Bishop,
right? Elvin Bishop,
to even know who Elvin Bishop,
even who
is.
Elvin Bishop is, right? Right?
I used to be a counselor at Camp Jam, which was really cool. You know, we were teaching music to kids, and it's like a rock and roll camp, rock and roll summer camp, right? And the kids, they were obviously, the kids that were there were interested in music because they were playing guitars and stuff like that, but they were all into like certain bands, you know, like they all liked Zeppelin, they all liked Hendrix, and they all liked the Floyd. Doors or whatever. You're playing guitar, you like Hendrix, whatever. But like, this dude, I'm impressed. But I think, like, I remember talking to like a friend of mine, like my next door neighbor, across street neighbor's niece went to a concert. We went and saw, he had free tickets, or we were all going at the last minute, went to see Don Felder, 38 Special, and Styx. Right. So I mean, it's like a triple bill, and like, hey, let's just do this. Yeah. And like, we're like, how many songs do you know? And she knew like just a few, but she's like, what do you listen to? And she's like, oh, you know, we go to parties, listen to hip hop, rap. Depends on if it's a jock party, they listen to hip hop. If it's this kind of party, they listen to like pop. But she wasn't like, she was cool and listened to music, but very shallow as far as what she listened to. You know, I think the normal young person, that sounds negative, doesn't dig as deep as this dude, you know.
I think before we go, Elvin Bishop is a great example, because I think we're in some cases maybe given a lot of credit because Elvin Bishop's a great example where that's a song like Fooled Around and Fell in Love was very much fed from Guardians of the Galaxy. That there is these songs that are incorporated into like hit movies and things like that are very much a prominent part of soundtracks and stuff. And all of a sudden,
right,
these kids kind of know or are introduced to some of these songs. And that's great. But I think it's in a lot of cases, it's where the current new stuff that's coming out also has packaged within it some older things.
Has Sweet been packaged? Because I can't explain that one.
No.
I don't know. That's true.
You know, I was thinking back to where we were just talking about 1978 a little while ago, and I would have been like, halfway through my sophomore year of high school when that Judas Priest album came out that we discussed earlier.
Wow.
And I'm thinking that, you know, at that moment in time, there was no such thing as classic rock radio. That didn't exist.
Right.
There was no such thing. I didn't think about this till recently, but there was no such thing as a used record store.
Mm-mm.
You know, yeah. Most of my records, or how I found records, was going to garage sales. I remember going to garage sales and like, oh my God, I just bought Quadrophenia at a garage sale.
Mine want me their way. I clean my room and my shoes, but my mother found a box of blues, and there doesn't seem much hope they let me stay. Suit, suit, white jacket with side vents 5 inches long.
You know, you couldn't find used records. You couldn't find it. Like, that music had been replaced.
Right.
1978, the culture is listening to, you know, Foreigner, Styx, that kind of stuff. So Realistic Pillow was just 10 years in the rearview mirror. But people in 1978 in my high school, they would have no clue what Surrealistic Pillow was. That had been replaced. It wasn't on the radio. You couldn't look at it on YouTube. There was, it just was gone, you know? And like now it's all available. It's all, everything is present.
I go back to when I started working in used record stores. It all comes down to your curiosity. The availability is there. I mean, it's at your disposal. If you want to find music, you can find it. The band that, you know, Kevin featured on the round table, we're going to find it somewhere. It's out there. It's out there somewhere. So it's out there to stream. It's out there to listen to. We can probably download it. So it all comes down to how curious you are. And I realized very quickly, I've always been a curious about music at a very early age. But when I started working in record stores, I was like a kid in a candy store. I was like, oh my God, there are 15,000 CDs at my disposal. My options to me at that point seemed endless. It's interesting because I was working on some stuff with work today, and I just wanted something in the background. And I was listening to the Broken Record podcast, which is Rick Rubin. And anyway, he was interviewing, of all people, Rivers Cuomo of Weezer. I would not have gone into it listening to it, but it carried over from another thing I was listening to. But I'm actually glad I listened because he's a fascinating guy. And so he's very, very smart, obviously, if you've read up on him. He created his own algorithm into program playlists in Spotify. I'm like, what? And so and Rick's like, what do you do? Like, how do you program it? And he goes, well, so I try to go into like, I'll do some heavy metal. I'll do some, you know, Cali country stuff back from like 60s and 70s. I'll go into a little reggae, some ska, some like blues, just name it. He named basically every genre. He goes, you know, I'm always playing something from a Rolling Stones top 500 albums of all time thing. I'll throw something like that and just plays a mix. And I'm like, oh my God, like there's just this plethora of music. So it's all out there. Well, he's obviously one of those guys that's just insanely curious and wants to absorb as much as possible. Juan, I think, is one of those guys that, you know, Juan, want to definitely hear your take on this too. Juan's one of those guys that's curious, you know, about what's out there and, you know, likes to be challenged. So he's willing to take some risks. You know, I don't think a majority of the younger generation are of that ilk, but I like to hear somebody that is open to it, that can speak very candidly of mentioning Elvin Bishop and Chicago, and to even mention some of those in the same breath and know who they are is pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, and especially me with, you know, my experience with this, because this is, of course, right up my alley. Just having, you know, everything pretty much at my disposal, even just before I really got into streaming, which was pretty recent. I was learning about new music just by going to a library and just taking CDs out of there, checking them out, burning them onto my computer and just listening to them and all that. And so with that, I started out just with a lot of 60s stuff. Like I found Surrealistic Pillow, some Jimi Hendrix records, Grateful Dead. And that was, you know, really big for me, like eighth grade, freshman year of high school. And even before then, just kind of finding out about music through all sorts of different outlets before I really knew how to start looking for it. Because even back then, I kind of always knew, you know, the possibility of hearing one song that's really good, and you know, there might be a whole album that that song is off of where every other song is just as incredible as that one. But yeah, for me, when streaming, when I switched fully over onto that and figured out how Spotify worked and everything, that was just big for me, because I was able, I listened to a lot of older stuff before then. I didn't really listen to a whole lot of newer stuff, but I found that it was easier to find it, because even though it'd be you can't really find used copies of CDs that came out pretty much just the week prior. And I don't know if it's just me, but I'm truly baffled by CD pricing, how they can go for like 13, 14. And meanwhile, you can stumble onto a whole aisle somewhere at a thrift store where all CDs are, you know, just a buck. So, but yeah, music streaming was really what changed everything for me, because it was everything, you know, is at my disposal. And
it's a miracle.
And, you know, me not being somebody that really listens to playlists all that much, whenever I do pop one on, it's always, you know, just not weird, but I think a better word for it is just fun. The variety of music that they'll come on, and you know, from all these different genres and eras and backgrounds, and it really does just kind of put things into perspective how big of a pool there is of music, because there really is a whole lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, there's you definitely have your artists that hold the most weight, you know, like the Beatles and Led Zeppelin. But then, you know, if you're talking about like really obscure, like dub artists or whatever, then those are kind of, you know, there's still stuff to be found there, but it strays so far from the mark where it's like, you know, you kind of do really get lost in that discovery for new music through those sorts of routes and everything. And it's all really great. And streaming makes it, you know, easier than it's ever been.
That's for sure.
You think about it, and it's like, we don't replace, we just accumulate. So in a sense,
right.
You wonder, like, does that mean that artists are, you know, there's more competition, so artists are getting less market share, less listeners, you know, less opportunity to permeate the culture. And you think someone like, you know, Lana Del Rey, who is, you know, popular right now, if everything is present, then Lana Del Rey is competing with, you know, Janis Joplin and Etta James and Sweet and Joan Baez.
Mm-hmm. taken by a photograph of you. There were one or two I know that you would have liked a little more, but they didn't show your spirit quite as true. You were turning around to see who was behind.
People from 50 years ago, she's competing with them, right?
Right.
It sounds crazy to even say it, but I mean, in a sense, if everything is present, that would seem to be true.
I definitely think, yeah, you're competing with everybody at this point because everything is available. But at the same token, they have a certain amount of followers because, well, think about our own collections, right? And what we listen right. to. And then we have the devout bands that we will follow them to the ends of time. This is the point where Kevin can shift in and mention Alice Cooper for the 155th time in a row.
You don't have to do it anymore. We do it for him.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't even going to do it. I was going to let it go.
I'll throw in Elvis Costello, right? I will follow him to the ends of earth. But so you've got those bands that you follow wholeheartedly and you'll do it. And then you've got a plethora of other bands that you just casually just kind of ride the wave, whatever they're doing. And you're always looking for something new. So I don't know. I think it depends on the person. I think most people, like when I hear that list, I'm intrigued by it, but at the same token, I'm wondering if a month from now or 3 months from now or 6 months or a year from now, if he'll truly remember those bands or if it was just part of a playlist that he happened to check out at that time that he thought was pretty cool. Cause Don's mentioned this on he's just a Spotify guy. Tom mentions that he's a Spotify guy. I'm the anti guy. I am not a playlist guy. It's just not my thing. I like albums. So I will always listen to albums. A song. I can earmark that and go, okay, cool. I need to go back to that.
And listen to the album.
Right. I want to go back and listen to that. If I hear something I like, I immediately stop, done. I'm listening to that person's album.
Right.
Yeah. I don't really use that function of iTunes, or Apple Music. I pretty much listen to albums.
Yep.
And I use it as like a virtual huge record shelf, and I can I dial it up and I can look which album I want to take from or look at, and right. I listen to the album and then I search for another album.
That's cool.
So,
Tom. Admit it. You admitted it last week. You're sitting there swirling your brandy and having someone curate.
I do. Exactly. I appreciate someone curating my music for me sometimes. In essence, you guys kind of curate a lot of times a list. So I'll come up with some notes and now I have some things to search for. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'll look for that. Like I take all these suggestions and then you Apple Music to execute it. You know, it's
right. I'm like what you're saying, Tom. It's like I go and like Apple Music does the, I don't know if you can see it. So if I click, it does that, right? And you can click on whatever genre you want. You know, you got like K-pop and soul and all kinds of shit. So I'm like, oh, what's new in Americana? And I'll hit Americana and I'm like, new releases. And I'll click on it and like listen to like a song,
and then go to the album.
Yeah. Nope. Right. And I'm like, if it catches me or whatever, I'll move on. And, you know. Then it's like, but then it's like what I would like this week. I was like, you weren't here, but like the What It Do archive group or whatever. I was like, man, okay, this is cool. So I'm like, then I was exploring. There were like three more artists
within that same listening thing that I was, you know, might throw them on my triple play, but you know, I'm like, oh man, what's this band? So I listen to the whole album, or I trying to find out, you know, so playlists are cool when you're like, playlists are cool for a reason. Like yeah. You're having a party or something, you're just going to mm-hmm. put a playlist on or whatever, rather than playing an album. But
absolutely. Yep.
But I like to, you know, find something. I very rarely just like do the playlist and let it play for like an hour. You know, I'll like find something I like and then dive into that, you know, listen to the whole album or whatever.
But well, it's funny that you mentioned the Apple Music thing and then the genres, right? Because that is the opposite of what Mark is talking about. Like, it's not about genres.
Right.
Everything is present. And so basically what Spotify has done, what Apple Music has done, in many ways, compartmentalized things
yep.
to the point where it keeps you in this on the same path.
Yep.
What I love about his playlist or his list of artists that he was into is like, there's no commonality. There's no common bond to any of that. It's hard to mash that up and make it make sense.
Right.
And I love that.
There has to be something that was guiding him to that. There has to be, if
right.
you dig deep enough, there has to be something that was alerting him, because otherwise you don't know what you don't know. How would he ever know of Elvin Bishop, or how would he ever know of Sweet if
That's
there wasn't
true.
Something?
I'll have to ask him.
One key element is, because it seems like, you know, all these artists could be on like a compilation.
Right.
Something, some sort of like a soundtrack or, but the fact that I think he recited them by name. Now I don't know if it was from memory or what, so I don't know how deep his roots are with some of these artists, but I think you kind of have to have that level of trust where if somebody hears a song from one of these, you know, great, great artists, that the power of whatever message that song is trying to put out, if it resonates with somebody enough that they're going to go and dive deeper into it. Because I feel like music really kind of is something you get into. And because I feel like there are some people that just don't, you know, they just go their whole life and don't really like seriously listen to music in a way that, you know, some of us might. And I think it's that moment of discovery. There really just has to be that one moment where somebody hears something and it just stops them in their tracks and something clicks.
I think there's a lot of the, you know, something to be said for a lot of the standard topics that songs are written about. They're timeless.
Mm-hmm.
And there's songs that are written, you know, 30, 40 years ago that are still poignant, you know, that they can transcend decades and they can still mean something, especially songs that are just so good that they just stand up.
Agreed.
Yeah. I think Craig nailed it. I think that I hadn't really thought of it that way, but I feel like people are either curious or they're not. And this young man is clearly curious, right? And I don't want to put it all on young people. I know a lot of people my age that are not curious, that have very narrow interests in music. You know, we were talking about family members, Kevin, last weekend. And like, I'm just going to guess your brother is not going to buy a Sam and Dave album. Now, nope. I would buy a Sam and Dave album. You would buy a Sam and Dave album. He's not going to buy one. In fact, I don't know what his favorite band was, but he probably isn't even buying the new albums by his favorite band. He's right. listening to the same 10 albums he listened to when he was in 10th grade.
Right.
Because he's not, you know what I mean? There's people right. that are just not
we were talking about that.
Like right. that.
When we were talking in the group of Brent and Patrick, and we were talking about that, and Tim, that were saying that, like, people they know from high school that never, you know, just listen to the same stuff they listened to back when they were in high school.
It may not be, so I'm going to be empathetic, because it may not be that they wouldn't listen to other things. They don't know necessarily how to get there.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty lazy take, especially when it's your favorite band. If it's your favorite band and you don't and you don't have a clue that they've put out 10 albums after the 10 albums that's pretty lazy.
I can't argue with that. But if there's other artists that maybe
right. I get that
are popular and stuff, that they're just not in the circles, and their friends aren't really talking about stuff. Because I hear about stuff because I talk to you guys, you know, and
but there's so many ways to find new music. Yeah. I mean, I feel like listen to our podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Or look at All Music every week and look at their new releases, or look at any number of magazines that review new releases. Go to a festival where you'll get exposed to dozens of artists in a weekend you probably never heard of. You know, if people are curious, they're going to find it.
Right.
So I think the curiosity thing is true.
No,
it really is.
What's funny, Kevin and I were talking years ago. We were at a Taco Mac, and Kevin's like, you know, I was out with a friend of mine, and she's just not, you know, everywhere we go, it's like, I'll take a Stella. And he goes, here we are at Taco Mac, and she orders a Stella. And he goes, there's nothing wrong with that. Stella's a good beer. But he goes, aren't you curious when you look up there and you see
like there's 100 beers on tap? 100
beers on tap. And you're not just a little curious to what that, like, some people just don't. It's a comfort thing. And I think the person that orders Stella over and over and over again or just want comfort. And the other person that goes in and he goes, what IPA you got? Cool. Hook me up. That's us.
Yes. Right.
No, I think you've helped me to figure this out. Yes. Everything is present. There's no timeline. There's no genre. There's no context, like that author said. But that only matters if you're curious.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I've talked to people in their early 20s. A couple of my clients are obsessed with the Twilight Zone. Hmm. And I'm like, that's 60 years ago. And they're like, oh my God, it's the greatest show ever. And they're talking about specific episodes, and like, they're really, really into it.
Wow.
Again, like, because it's available, you can watch the whole series on Netflix. It's perpetually, endlessly available.
Yeah.
But you're only going to watch that if you're curious, right?
Yep.
But, you know, I just got into, I missed Freak. I talked about it last week, Freaks and Geeks, when that came out in year 2000. And I heard, I was reading an article that somebody mentioned what a, like, pivotal show that was, and what great things they did. It was only on for one season. But I was like, I'm going to check that out. And it was, it's really, really good. But I missed it the first time around. So
that's
that's a good example of, I mean, there's tons of stuff like that, I'm sure, that were good, and it's still good.
There's some good in this as well. I mean, there's lots of good in this, but what is good is that some of these bands and artists that didn't persevere, didn't have that, you know, huge, wonderful career, or maybe people are rediscovering bands we're talking about Rodriguez, Sixto Rodriguez. If there wasn't internet and all that kind of stuff, people wouldn't know who he is. I'm not saying he's riding the wave and, you know, making millions, but he's back in the conversation for a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, for people that are curious.
Cause I lost my job, 2 weeks before Christmas. And I talked to Jesus at the sewer, and the Pope said it was none of his goddamn business. While the rain drank champagne, my Estonian archangel came and got me wasted. Cause the sweetest kiss I ever got is the one I've never tasted. Oh, but they'll take their bonus pay to Molly McDonald. Neon lady, beauty's that which obeys, is bought or borrowed.
They're like, what's this Rodriguez thing? Check it out. You know, like, check it out. Like, I know we talked about the other week, like Labby Siffre. Everybody over here, I mean,
yeah,
nobody knew who the hell Labby Siffre was. And I saw it on a TV show. And then it's like, what is this? You know, it's like, if it wasn't for TV and streaming, I couldn't have checked out his six albums or whatever, you know?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I love that. So I guess he's big over there in the UK or whatever, but now at least I got two or three, four people, you know, found out about him because it's available. It is available. Like you're saying, like if the client that's Mark's talking about is interested in Sweet and this band, that band, next thing you know, maybe he's listening to Moby Great. Couldn't listen to Moby Grape in the 80s.
No.
Unless you happen to find a weird used copy of Moby Grape. It wasn't on the radio. It wasn't around. Now
there's no way to get it.
You can listen to Moby Grape again.
Even now, it's hard to find out on streaming. It hasn't been full albums haven't been on streaming for a while.
Really?
Yeah. Moby Grape?
Moby Grape. Yeah, that's been. For me, Moby Grape always stands as one of those weird outlier bands where all their albums are sort of incomplete on streaming. It's a damn shame.
You remind me by saying that. Like, I remember when I was exploring different music and stuff like that. I always loved like the deep cuts and the radio station I listened to. They had like a lost classic, and they'd play something or like, you know, that type of thing. And like, oh, what is that? And they play like certain songs that like you never hear in normal rotation. But I remember trying to find out about bands. I'm like, oh, this is probably 1993. Right. And I was like, I heard the song. I think the song was Fresh Air by the Quicksilver Messenger Service.
Thank you.
I'm like, and I knew, but I heard about this band and knew this band. So I went and bought like a double greatest hits, Quicksilver. You know, like that was the only way that I could find out about Quicksilver at the time, mm-hmm. was to go and buy
right
an album at the store. You know, it's like I heard like two songs. I'm like, let me check this out. I love that. So then you go diving and buying other things. But now if I hear Quicksilver, I'm like, what? I can go listen to every Quicksilver album that exists.
Like I said, it's a miracle.
It is the fact that we've moved in the direction of streaming just a product of musical evolution because of all the accumulation of music over the years, right?
Yes.
We had to move in this direction. Think about, Mark made a great comment, like the fact that you had to buy your records at a garage sale as opposed to buying a used, you couldn't buy a used record back then. And then all of a sudden in the 90s, it exploded. It was primarily used because over time, you just keep adding to the pool.
Right.
You keep adding to it. And so streaming just had to be there. It had to be the next step.
It's just economical.
Right.
You know, $60 a year is, you can handle that. But when an album is like $12-13 a piece,
right,
you know, you're going to exceed that in no time. So
that's true.
Just to have access. I mean, that's how I see it. It's such a greater value. I know that there's arguments against it, that the artists only get the fractions of the cents. I get that, but I feel like it's a huge, I don't know. It's so hard to keep up with buying albums and buying music. And like you said, Kevin, you hear something, it's like, well, when you go to listen to it, it's kind of a risk. You may not like it.
Oh, absolutely.
And you just spent $15-20 on it or whatever, and that might be a bust.
Right. There was something to that. I don't want to divert too much. There was something to that risk, though.
Yeah.
That made it all the more rewarding, but I don't want to sidebar.
Not that.
But yeah. No, right. But it's true. It's ironic to say this. It's easier to find the Jefferson Airplane in 2021 than it was in 1978.
Right.
In 1978, they were sort of still together in a sense, or it wasn't that far back. You can find Grateful Dead material way easier now than you could in the 70s when they were still working and touring.
Yep.
So, you know, another thing Tom said that I think is important to mention is there are ways that some of this old material, if you want to use the word old, that it's gotten into pop culture, like surprising things. Yeah. You know, we had a party with my family a couple of weeks back, and I put on like a Pandora soul, 60s soul, you know, playlist, just because that seemed like a fun thing to listen to. And my sister and I were like, you know, it's Sam and Dave, it's Otis, it's Wilson Pickett. You know, my sister and I are like dancing in the kitchen. We're having a great time. Younger people, they like it, but they're not going crazy for it. Well, then a song comes on and they all look at each other and every one of them goes, oh my God, I love this song. And they jump up from the couch and they're dancing around the living room. The song is by a Native American band, Redbone.
Oh my God, really?
And I'm like, wait a minute. How in the hell?
Do you know Redbone?
You guys don't know Soul Man. You don't know Dock of the Bay. You don't know any Mustang Sally. You don't know any of that.
Oh, my God.
But you know Redbone?
Hey!
Like, everyone knows this song. It's on a video game, or it's on something.
Yep.
And they all knew it and they all loved it and they were up dancing to it. So again, there's ways that some of that stuff like gets into their pop culture that we have no idea about.
Right. But if you think about in just popular culture and just commercials and just when you're out and about, like, there is no barrier of genre of any sort. It's just whatever song or whatever music fits the mood. It defies genre.
Might we be getting back to what I want it to be? But might we be getting back to the radio stations of the 1970s where there was multiple genres and it didn't matter? They just, like, you heard everything, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be nice. I mean, like what I showed you, everything is compartmentalized, you know, but like,
right.
But for this kid listening to Marvin Gaye and Sweet,
it's just natural.
Like, there's no timeline. There's no genre. There's no context. Everything is just present. Everything is just out there equally. I mean, there's something very ecumenical about that. There's something just cool about that. If you really stop and think about it,
it's like your own collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, your old stuff is right next to your newer stuff.
Well, if you think about it, somebody at that age, there's nothing to be nostalgic for, right? It's not like he's going to listen to a Miles Davis album or a Marvin Gaye album and get nostalgic for it. He doesn't have any context. He's listening to it fresh for the first time. Right. All that stuff's being absorbed now. Like for me, when we mentioned earlier, Chuck Mangione, I don't know if it was on the recording, but we talked about it before. When I hear Mangione, I get nostalgic.
Yes.
For that time and that era, it makes me happy. So, but for somebody that's fresh to it, there is no timestamp on it. It's just, that's what I'm listening to now. That is an interesting perspective.
And even then, I feel like it's also just part of the music within, because since we're talking about Mangione, my whole experience with that song, I'm sure the first time I listened to it must have been from my mom having it on somewhere, because I got a vinyl copy of that Feels So Good record from her. And I remember pulling it out of my collection just to, you know, go back to it and see what was in it. And it was something about that song that just really brings me back to time. Not any one time in particular, but just really sunny, really happy. The mood it evokes is just really nice. To switch gears, though, I feel like a really important tool in, you know, an era where everything is there, everything is present, is just the art of playlists. Because with me personally, I make a lot of playlists, but rarely do I really listen to them. Playlists for me are just a really easy way to sort of categorize everything that I either want to listen to at a later date or have just cataloged. But rarely do I ever actually put on a playlist on Shuffle, but I know that if I ever wanted to do that, I'd have some picked out. But they've been really helpful for me because I always say, you know, I wanted to listen to a record that I'm finding out about and just hearing about for the first time, but I'm already planning on listening to something else. I'll just take the first song off of that album and put it in a playlist, and then I could title the playlist like "To Be Listened To" or something like that, and just sort of have that on the back burner. It does get daunting just because obviously I find myself getting interested in a lot of things. So some of these playlists that I've made are massive. There's way too many of them. But at its core concept, it helps just kind of at least give that sense of reassurance that it's there if I ever really want to come back to it.
It's like the mixtape of, I remember making mixtapes.
Yeah.
Like
in High Fidelity, you know, where to put it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thanks to everybody for listening in. We really appreciate it.
Visit us on any kind of social media. Like we said, whatever the platform calls for, leave a review, a like, a follow, whatever you need to do. Give us any kind of suggestions, comments. Let us know what you think. Share us with a friend. You know, all that stuff helps us move up the rankings. Appreciate that. And look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Take care.
Take it easy.